Hello out there in Radio K-Goat land. This is Lori Buckle flying solo today on What's Upstream. My partner Mark Cuccinella is on his way to Italy, where he will be spending the next several weeks. And he always has a blast when he goes to Italy, so we'll miss him here, but he will be having a wonderful time. You are listening to KYGT LPFM 102.7 and 103.9 on your radio dial, if anybody listens to radios anymore. I don't know, but you can also stream this program on clearcreekradio.com. And you can do that from all over the world. So that's pretty cool that that happens. And let's see, before we get to our guests today, which are coming to us from the Sheriff's Department, Jenny Fulton is here and Clarissa Boggs Blake is here. We'll be talking about the Office of Emergency Management today. But I have a PSA about this beloved radio station. K-Goat is marking its 31st year. Amazing. Oh, boy. Please consider making a contribution to help us stay on the air. You can click on the Donate Now button at the top of the website page, clearcreekradio.com. You can make a one-time gift, or you can set up a regular recurring payment of any amount. The recurring payments are especially helpful. They help with budgeting, and then you don't have to remember to make regular payments yourself. And it can be of any amount. Any amount is helpful. Clear Creek Radio, Inc. is an exempt 501c3 charitable organization, and your gift is tax deductible. Keep listening and help us keep community radio alive and well in Clear Creek County. So thank you very much to everyone who goes to our website and makes a donation. Help us stay on the air. Greg Markle would want that of all of you, our beloved founder of this radio station. We all miss Greg. Okay, so let's get going with our program today. Again, Jenny Fulton is the public information officer for the Sheriff's Department, and Clarissa Boggs Blake is the OEM manager, the boss. Anyway, so Jenny, why don't you you've been on the program before, sure, but take a minute to just remind us of you, who you are, and what your role is with the Sheriff's Department.
Absolutely. And Lori, thank you for having us on again.
Hold on one second, because I wasn't hearing you, so maybe talk again and hopefully
sure,
we'll hear you. There we go.
Lori, thank you for having us on again. We really appreciate the opportunity to come talk to you and talk to the residents that listen to the GOAT. So we very much appreciate being here. My name is Jenny Fulton, and I'm the Public Information Officer / Communications Manager for the Sheriff's Office. One of my primary roles is to share important information with our community, with visitors to Clear Creek County, and make sure that people know what's going on at the Sheriff's Office. If we have significant incidents, if we have crashes on the highway or cases that we're investigating or incidents that we're responding to, then oftentimes I will share that information, typically through social media. And sometimes if it's a larger, longer event, we may also put some of that information on our website.
Yeah. I've really noticed increased communication coming out from the Sheriff's Department. So thank you so much for that.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. I live in the county, so I'm enjoying serving my own community.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. Yeah, terrific. Yeah. So Clarissa, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. My name is Clarissa Boggs Blake. I'm the Office of Emergency Management Director for Clear Creek County. Clear Creek County's emergency management is actually under the Sheriff's Office here, so I actually work for the Sheriff, and I've been here a little over a year.
Very good. Yeah. And let's see, maybe you could tell us a little bit about the Office of Emergency Management, the history of it and what its job is. That would be helpful to know.
Yeah, so emergency management really became a token name or really an influx in planning and preparedness and response really after 2001.
Oh,
so
okay.
After 9/11 and then after the subsequent anthrax white powder attacks was really when the federal government developed some grants and some funding that's been year over year ever since, and then has dictated to states and now to locals that they really need to have more effective coordination for all sorts of kind of hazards. So that's where it started, and it's grown. There's lots of different funding streams that have been able to increase terrorism preparedness, public health emergency response, regular, just general disasters, natural disaster response. And so really emergency management is a culmination, a comprehensive umbrella of planning when it's normal outside, trying to make sure everyone understands roles and responsibilities, and then really helping coordinate a response so that we're giving the best services to the community as possible. And then we help kind of facilitate recovery so we can get back to our new normal as quickly and efficiently as possible.
Wow, what a great idea, honestly. Especially the proactive part, you know, getting ready so we all know what to do in an emergency. We'll talk about sort of a recent incident, big incident that you were involved in. I don't know whether you'd consider the wind event an emergency or not, but people certainly suffered, and you were certainly important in coordinating all of that. So one question, do you know, like, where this, through which department in the federal government does this funding come through?
Yep, so it's Department of Homeland Security.
Oh, it is, okay.
And then there's quite a few departments underneath Department of Homeland Security. So FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, is under there, and so we work, emergency management's at the local and state level work a lot under the umbrella of the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Okay. Is there any concern about your funding right now with what's going on in Washington?
Yeah, so there's always concern, right? Funding's never guaranteed, but always trying to find creative state and local and other avenues to guarantee funding. But so far, we've only had some of our more minor grants impacted that don't have direct, like, operational or planning, planning implications. And so, so far, so good. But that could change depending on how things continue or differ in Washington.
Okay. Cross our fingers that it doesn't, right?
Yeah.
Because then it impacts staff and actually getting the job done.
Yep. And so, you know, there's lots of resources at the state, which is great. And then due to our mountain community and area, many of our local emergency managers have partnered together to try to help and bolster each other and back each other up in emergencies. So Gilpin County's emergency manager and I talk weekly, and so we have a pretty close relationship. And then obviously Jefferson County is the one towards the metro area, and then connected with Summit as well. So kind of nice that we all lean on each other to accomplish a broader, bigger goal, because most emergencies don't stay just in one jurisdiction. They tend to bleed over. And so being able to have that support system is really critical. So we've done some things internal to build our capabilities as well.
Yeah, like, look, can you mention some of the things that you've maybe worked on together with the other counties?
Yeah, so I started again in the fall of 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I took a comprehensive look of what we were doing and what our capabilities were internal. So I did a threat and hazard analysis just to make sure I knew what really is.
So let me stop you there, because it sure sounds like you came into this job with experience and knew what to do on day one.
Yes, I did. Yes, sorry. So I've been in the emergency management field for a little over a decade.
Wow.
I actually started in Michigan, in rural western Michigan. And so I started in the public health field of emergency management and then moved out here 8 or 9 years ago. While I live in Jefferson County, I'm within a quarter mile of the Clear Creek border, so love my evergreen and mountain town vibe. And then I ended up working for the city and county of Denver. for a long time, doing emergency management, both public health wise, as well as general emergency management. So then decided I wanted to go more up into the mountains, closer to my home and what I have a passion for. And then there was an opportunity and the Clear Creek Sheriff's Office hired me. So, yes.
Wow. Yeah, lucky to get her, huh,
yes,
Jenny?
Yes, she was the second best hire 2 years ago.
Jenny was the first.
Love it.
We have, Clarissa is amazing. She's amazing. She has done so much for the county in the short time that she's been here. I can't say enough good things about her. So we're grateful and honored to have her.
Yeah, terrific. So I'm sorry I interrupted you, but so you were hired and did a comprehensive look at what was going on.
Yep, of kind of our risks and what our local capabilities are. Coming from Denver, very different resources down there and availability than there is up here. So I really needed to get my arms around kind of where we stood. And then talked with the sheriff, talked with a lot of our first response agency leadership, talked with county commissioners, the county manager, and kind of really identified what were some of the priorities that we needed to get working on. And then where, looking at those priorities, where could we coordinate across jurisdictions to see if we can better our capability within multiple counties, so not just one.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work for one person. So being able to create a team has definitely helped lift some of the burden. But some of the priorities that we identified, we're expanding partnerships around sheltering capabilities in the county. So since I started, we've added 4 additional memorandums of understanding, so actual agreements with community partner agencies that they'll host or open in an emergency situation and actually house the public.
Wow.
So that's a big commitment from some of our partners.
And is the rec center one of those partners?
They are. They are one of our most recent and one of our most involved partners. They've been fantastic to work with.
Okay. I volunteer at Carlson.
Oh.
And I was there the day that that entire school must have been doing an exercise in preparation because they evacuated the school and we walked all the way over to the gym at the rec center. This was last year.
Okay.
So was that kind of practice according to Clarissa?
Yeah, so I wasn't here when that happened. We have lots of agreements. And so really what my job is, and I think one of the most important things that emergency management can do is do a lot of the pre-emergency work.
Yeah.
Right? Emergency management itself inherently sounds like I manage emergencies. Mm. But really, I don't manage the response. I really manage and try to help facilitate and coordinate the people who are doing the work. So making sure that law enforcement and fire and mass care, so American Red Cross and sheltering, making sure EMS, making sure we're all talking and understanding whatever the scenario or situation that we're responding to, making sure we're all coordinating together and it's not siloed. So EMS isn't doing whatever they're doing over here and fire's not over here doing whatever fire's doing, but we're all doing it together so that we're working effectively and efficiently.
So important. Good heavens. And when you have fewer resources like we have up here, it's so important. Who has the resources enough to duplicate, right?
Yeah. I love that many folks in this community wear multiple hats and serve in multiple roles. And the amount of subject matter expertise in this county is astounding. So it's been great to learn and meet people and get integrated.
Yeah, that helps a lot to have people who really know what they're doing. So priority shelters, that was a priority. And then what are the other ones you're working on?
Yeah, so obviously during that threat assessment and overall review that I did, wildfire is one of the top hazards for this county. I'm pretty sure anybody listening and all of us know that, but good to validate that with data. Partnering with Evergreen Fire Rescue, Clear Creek Fire Authority, and the Sheriff's Office, and actually Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, we're actually going to do a wildfire evacuation drill with some of the plan units in Evergreen Fire Protection District as well as Clear Creek Fire Authorities this spring. So we're going to get the community involved. We're going to try to evacuate a neighborhood when there's not a real emergency to get some good data and some metrics and really create a template so that we can do this across all of Clear Creek Fire Authority and Evergreen Fire Protection District.
And the residents get to practice what to do.
Yes, yep. Right? And so we're not going to tell a whole lot about it because we want to see organically what people do. Right. But we've had lots of community meetings and we'll continue to have those. And then there'll be a bunch of more information pushed. But looking for the east side of Clear Creek County to be involved this go round, and then hopefully expanding and doing more every year moving forward.
So there wouldn't be forewarning of the residents, is that what you're saying? It would be as in a true emergency. It just happened. And then, but you're coordinating all of that kind of response.
Yeah, so this exercise, so with any exercise, there's some artificialities because it's not a real event. Like, there's not smoke actually on the hillside. And so we've had to loop in and involve and want to involve the community because we need to get them to be willing to participate versus a real emergency. We're going to just be telling them to leave because it's not safe. Mm-hmm. And so we're really in the beginning stages of trying to get community buy-in and getting a good group of people so we can actually fill up Highway 103 and make it very full of traffic and see what an actual evacuation of that area would look like. And then we'll have some sub-identification of bottlenecks and how long it takes for deputies to go door to door, and just trying to get a good foundational set that has data that will help us apply for grants, make better decisions about response in an actual emergency, and then really also set people up and build their confidence in they know what to do to evacuate now.
Yeah, what a good idea, honestly. Sounds great. So that's a priority. And then were there any others?
Yeah, so Gilpin County and I are working on kind of creating a joint emergency operations center.
Oh.
So what an emergency operations center is, again, there's a lot of acronyms and words that emergency management uses. So if I go down any pathways, feel free to stop me. But the Emergency Operations Center, or EOC, is where we can bring subject matter experts or folks from across the county or first response agencies that have certain skill sets that can help with tracking costs, doing logistics, moving things around, owning facilities, all those kinds of more supportive but vital roles. And then we can all work together as one centralized location to help support whatever's happening in the field.
Wow.
So that's what, anyway, so we're working on creating a joint one. So where if I'm out of town or if I need to be on the side of the road with the field operation folks for whatever reason, my counterpart in Gilpin County can come speak the same language, we're organized the same way, that kind of thing. So, and vice versa. So we're really trying to build some depth and redundancy because, you know, when that windstorm happens or that snowstorm happens, I'm probably in Italy or wherever.
Well, and the other thing I think about, Clarissa, is that my neighborhood, York Gulch, the road actually has Clear Creek County on one side and Gilpin County on the other side. So when, you know, someone up York Gulch calls 911, it's sort of can always be a little bit of a crapshoot about who responds. And if Clear Creek is busy, Gilpin sometimes responds. But yeah, it's very interesting living in a community really that has residents who live in both counties. So we could be a practice site for you for something for your coordination with Gilpin County, because we've got both.
I will put that on the list.
So that's great. Yeah. Well, these sound like wonderful priorities. Public health. Are there any priorities around public health?
I would defer to Dr. Ryan. Tim Ryan is the director of public health, but yeah, there are annual requirements for public health emergency preparedness.
Yeah.
And so really working, the individual who's in charge of that, he and I have worked on inventory this last year and trying to figure out what's what and where's what. And then they also have a stake in a role in our emergency operations center. And so we'll be bolstering some of our training around there. And so they'll be heavily involved in that.
Yeah, I guess I just think back on how recently COVID was. And, you know, kind of the implications it had for lots of different things in this county, and certainly preparing for the next pandemic is probably important. And I'm sure Dr. Ryan is on that.
Yes.
So very good. All right. Anything else just in general about the Office of Emergency Management that you might want to tell us?
Yeah, I'll tell you about one more other big initiative.
Okay.
We're also doing a lot of mass casualty planning and trying to bring
in... That sounds pretty sad.
Yeah. I'd rather be prepared on a bad day than not prepared. So,
Sure.
Yeah, so working with our law enforcement and EMS and fire partners and making sure we have appropriate equipment for them, as well as understanding how roles and responsibilities change based on the nature of a mass casualty incident. So it could be medical-led, it could be law enforcement-led, it could be fire-led. And so working on that, on the, again, blue sky before an incident happens is where we're focusing a lot of our efforts this year. And then hoping to do a bigger exercise in the summer somewhere in the community. Haven't figured it out yet. But so looking to do that and build that capability. So we wrote a plan, which takes a long time to get everybody's buy-in. And so now we've actually next week we start some training with some of our boots on the ground first responder folks to do some tactics and operational stuff. And then we'll move to command and how we run a scene like that with a lot of moving parts.
Wow. Could you break that down a little more? Like what that will actually look like? And could you define mass? How many people are we talking about for a mass casualty?
Yeah, so it depends on the amount of resources we have.
Right.
So you'll get, it depends a lot is the answer.
Okay.
For a response. But so more than four or five individuals. So like if a big bus were to crash on the highway and we have lots of injuries or fatalities, that's a more medical EMS-led.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any crime or criminal activity, active killer or bomb threat, that kind of thing, that's a law enforcement-led, could potentially be a mass casualty incident. A big apartment complex or something that burns down, that displaces or injures or there's some fatalities, that could be a fire-led. So it's based on kind of the discipline and what the cause of the casualty is or the incident is, dictates kind of who's the lead. And so finding how we all operate together, because there's roles for every single one of those disciplines in any sort of incident.
Yeah.
And then trying to make sure we have the right equipment and making sure folks know how to use that equipment is kind of where we're at right now. And then obviously with the September 10th events at Evergreen High School, it became quite aware again that the Clear Creek County side also needs to make sure we're ready for heaven forbid if something were to happen like that.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I'm so grateful that you've put all of your expertise and good thinking into these kind of plans. That's terrific. So that is a lot of work, and it's just you?
It is.
In this office?
It is, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Do you sleep ever?
It depends.
Well, very good. Well, we will be back in just a minute with Clarissa and Jenny. Let's take just a quick break. And when we come back, let's have you both talk with us about the recent wind event, because you were both very involved in that, in the power shutdown that happened along with that. So this is Lori Beckel and What's Upstream, and we will be back with you all in just a little bit.
Children home, honey, why not go alone, just you and me, coming and going, like a rabbit in the wood, I'm happy just to see you, yeah, looking so good, one more weekend, one more weekend with you, one.
All right, this is Lori Beckel returning to our What's Upstream very interesting program today with Clarissa and Jenny, and we're talking about the Clear Creek County Office of Emergency Management. You are listening to KYGT LPFM 102.7 and 103.9 on the FM dial, and streaming worldwide at clearcreekradio.com. We appreciate you listeners out there. I would like to remind you all that this coming Monday is the next Dude Talk Dinner for the men in our community. This happens the second Monday of every month. They've been having these dinners since October. They become more and more popular every month, so it's just been terrific. The Dude Talk Dinners bring men together in a relaxed, non-judgmental environment to enjoy dinner and talk openly about life's challenges. Each free dinner includes facilitated conversations guided by peer community leaders covering topics like stress, relationships, fatherhood, and mental well-being. The goal is to foster a culture where men support one another, normalize asking for help, and strengthen social networks. This takes place at 6 o'clock this coming Monday, February 9th, at the Club Hotel, 1601 Colorado Boulevard, here in Idaho Springs. And there are sponsors that make this possible: Smokin' Yards, Tommyknockers, the Club Hotel, Bojo's, and this whole wonderful offering to the men in our community was put together by Jamie Fancelo, who is our Community Health Alliance representative for Clear Creek County. So again, it's for all men, 18 and above, all ages go, and I've just heard that it's just a wonderful evening for men in our community. So anyway, coming back to our What's Upstream show today, we're going to talk now specifically about how Clarissa and Jenny were involved in the recent Public Safety Power Shut Off, PSPS, I've heard it's called. but it was the wind event that was happening right before the holidays in December. So maybe tell us kind of about how all of that happened, Clarissa.
Yeah, happy to. So we actually had two significant wind events in the Front Range area that week. And so that was December 17th, which is a Wednesday. And then December 19th was actually a longer wind event, and that was that Friday. And so really, I know folks have heard from Xcel, but Core Electric and Xcel Energy have both, since the end of 2024, early 2025, have been coming up and planning around what do we do as private entities and power utility companies, what do we do in the event of significant wind, low relative humidity, no snow, and things are really dangerous for fires.
A tinderbox.
Yep. And if folks remember, that next week of December in 2021 was Marshall Fire. And so that, in combination with the five-year mark of the Marshall Fire, and then the wind and the dryness, really culminated in some tough decisions that our power companies did in an effort to prevent and reduce the risk of a significant wildfire across many counties in the Front Range.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was, again, the event was Wednesday. We had...
So can I just ask, the Weather Service kind of predicted these major wind events, sort of started the whole thing? Is that how it all...
Yeah, so actually Excel has paid meteorologists that work for the company, which is very cool.
Okay.
National Weather Service does a phenomenal job of notifying emergency management on a regular basis of any inclement weather. So snow, which we should be getting, in theory.
When
we have big snow events, right, we get, bi-daily updates of kind of where we're at. And remember how forecasts change in this with the mountains and how airflow and everything moves. So they get much more accurate as we get closer to the date. So, yes, National Weather Service was talking about wind. Then our power company partner, Xcel Energy, started talking about wind. And it kind of really opened up the doors of, well, what are we going to do with the current situation and lack of moisture, dryness, and the 80 to 90 mile an hour wind gusts coming off the Front Range. So we started to have some meetings across the Front Range of just high-level discussion. That's when we did that on the Tuesday of, so only a day in advance. So this isn't like something we predict like a week in advance or even 4 days in advance. And although we may start having high-level discussions, you know, 3 days in advance or 2 days in advance, again, the weather doesn't really get solidified in the forecast until you're 36 to 24 hours out. So, and with big implication decisions like turning off people's power, they want to make sure that they are only impacting the necessary amount of people. And so trying to, minimize the impact while also making sure they didn't miss a place if they, make the call too soon. And so it's a very delicate dance and balance that I don't envy that the our utility partners had to manage. So.
And Tuesday. Boy, are they're getting grilled about it down at the state legislature.
Yeah, so Tuesday is when really we started to have pretty confident conversations that it was looking like a significant wind event. And both power companies, Core Electric, which does serve part of Clear Creek County, and Xcel Energy, which serves the majority of Clear Creek County, both were in talks and confirmed that, yes, there is a big wind event and some action needs to be taken.
Mm-hmm.
They both have plans, so it's not like they went off script or came up with anything creative or did a knee-jerk reaction. They have written plans and processes that they followed. They can absolutely be edited and updated, which they always are after any incident. That's for any one of our positions. We always continuously improve. But they followed with the protocol that they had at the time. So Tuesday afternoon was when I first got involved in when Clear Creek County, a little subset, was added to the planned public safety power shutoff, so PSPS, and that's like the Widder Gulch, River Creek area of Clear Creek County.
Mm-hmm.
So a pretty small amount of folks impacted, but I had some major concerns of how quick restoration could happen. And then with looking down the line into Friday, what were the implications of, rolling into a weekend with no power? Most of my work consisted of information gathering. Again, this is the first PSPS for the immediate Front Range Clear Creek County that we've ever had. Mm-hmm. It will not be the last. But it was a, fact-finding, kind of situational awareness gathering, identifying what Excel had planned, the implications of what Excel does with Core Electric, and then figuring out who's kind of doing what internal and if there were any needs or concerns that some of our first response agencies internals of the county may have. So a lot of it was phone calls and just giving general updates to county leadership and first responder leadership to make sure everyone knew wind was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And Jenny and Megan Heiler from the county both pushed information about, hey, there's wind coming. Make sure you have your batteries ready to go. Make sure you have your bathtubs filled, that kind of thing. Just, general power outage preparedness. Because while there may be a planned power outage event, we all have been through wind in this county and we all lose power unexpectedly. And so we still need to treat a power outage as a power outage, even if it's planned or not planned. So really just trying to get the message out that, hey, wind is coming. It's nothing this county isn't used to. This county has a lot of wind. But there's just that one step further that it tends to go down all the way into the Front Range metro area. And so really being aware that resources might be limited and that there needs to be some coordination at more of like a regional level than just, you know, my house is windy.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a little bit of prodding, but Xcel made the official go call that they were going to move forward with the proactive public safety power shutoff, or PSPS. They made the call at 9 o'clock on that Tuesday night.
Wow.
So the 16th. So again, not a lot of lead time.
No.
And then it's their responsibility as a private entity to notify all their customers. So not here to give opinions or anything on how their communications are, but it is their responsibility as the company to notify their respective consumers.
And did they? I mean, I live off grid. I wouldn't have gotten a message from them. But everybody who has them maybe got a message.
In theory, unsure. I don't work for Xcel, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I live up Brook Forest, and I received multiple messages that were confusing at times, but I received lots of communications from Xcel.
I see. So, okay.
So the wind event, if folks remember, on that Wednesday was from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So pretty warm day. I think it was like in the 50s. The weather was nice. We did have multiple meetings with National Weather Service just to make sure we were on point with kind of what the weather was like. Xcel held a 3 times a day meeting for emergency managers to get on so that we could have discussions about kind of what we were seeing on the ground versus what their folks were doing and just, you know, making sure everything was going as planned. And so really on that Wednesday, I just provided updates to leadership and made sure that I understood kind of the impacts of how many folks were being impacted. Which, again, Wednesday, Clear Creek County was a really small amount of the proactive shutoffs. We did have some unplanned shutoffs or trips of the system. So, like, Brook Forest didn't have power by the end of Wednesday night. And then Echo Hills in that area didn't have power. Again, not originally planned, but power outages happened in heavy wind. Mm-hmm. And that was due to the significant amount of damage that was happening on the east side of the county, which the west side was lucky and didn't have.
It didn't. So, right. Yeah.
So Wednesday, again, was mainly that. We did have some potential snow coming in that evening along the west side. So, again, not terribly worried about folks who didn't have power and being super cold. And then we rolled into Thursday, which Thursday, Xcel and Core Electric worked on turning back on who they could. And then it was really all of us started to lean forward because now we're about 24 hours in advance of Friday, with understanding Friday is going to be a much longer, worse event.
Mm.
The National Weather Service actually Thursday afternoon released a PDS, so particularly dangerous situation, which sounds very ominous. Yes. But that is a literally perfect storm situations for a significant mass wildfire. And so that wasn't in Clear Creek County, but it was in Jefferson County and part of Boulder County. And so that had everybody even more a little bit anxious and worked up that this could be a really big event if something were to spark and we were to have a wildfire takeoff in the Front Range. So Thursday is when most folks were working on getting power turned back on from Wednesday, and then Xcel was really working on getting a broader stroke of folks who were going to be potentially turned off for Friday for that event, which is what all of Clear Creek County got roped into on Friday, was when we were proactively turned off all the way up to Georgetown.
Wow, yeah.
So,
and this is right before Christmas.
Yeah,
right?
The weekend before Christmas.
Yeah.
So, and our northern counties, so Gilpin and Boulder, and even Jefferson County. Jefferson County was kind of in the eye of the storm as well. But those three counties had some more higher winds and some bigger damage. And so they actually made the decision for Thursday to open a shelter in both Gilpin County and Jefferson County to just in case, because they expected power outages to last longer in those two counties.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Wednesday, Clear Creek had such a teeny tiny little part, didn't feel the need to go down that path. Also didn't want to take needed resources away from our other county partners who maybe getting impacted more significantly. So we did work with both those counties, though, and were able that if anybody in our county needed sheltering that Wednesday, or sorry, that Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that we could, we as the county would facilitate transportation to either one of those counties. So maybe not ideal that we didn't have one in the county, but again, the bang for your buck and the most amount of people that we had impacted for the Wednesday didn't really meet the threshold for needing an in-house shelter when we had two in adjacent counties that we could transport you all to receive services. So that's kind of where we were with the sheltering rolling into Thursday. As soon as I heard about the significant wind event for Friday and it was confirmed that it was going to be longer and worse, my spidey senses really started to tingle. And now we're rolling into the weekend, much more concerned about providing more services for our community. And now that the entire I-70 corridor being impacted all the way to Georgetown, that's really the east to west of our county, was going to be turned off on a Friday, and unsure of when we would be restored.
Yeah.
So communications increased. I started working a lot more with Jenny and our county public information officer. I'll defer to communications in general that were pushed publicly to Jenny in just a second. But in terms of operations-wise, we had conversations with Excel trying to figure out if 405 Argentine Street, so the county building, also the jail, was going to be impacted, and what would that be, and what does that look like. And we made the decision in partnership with the sheriff that we should go ahead and evacuate the jail on a Thursday when we have adequate resources and staffing, and just be prepared that if we that we're going to lose power there Friday, and who knows when we're going to be turned back on. So we proactively do that. We already have a partnership with the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office Jail, so already lots of partnerships that exist. So we were able just to move folks down there and did that to prevent or reduce a bigger problem if we waited till Sunday or something. So we did the jail. And then we really just started figuring out, like, what could this county use and need? Backup power is a big problem in this county, so generator power in terms of businesses. So currently none of our shelter locations have any backup power. Looking to improve that in the future, but that requires money and funding, and so trying to be creative on how we can solve that for the future. But with the I-70 corridor being turned off, mainly most of our shelters were all taken or unavailable to be overnight, and so we really had to rely on our partners from Jefferson County and Gilpin to house any of our people who needed it if they wanted to seek shelter. So that was kind of where we were at. We did come up with an idea for a charging center at the Health and Wellness Center in Idaho Springs. Not a great location for overnight sleeping, so not a great location for sheltering, but great for during the daytime use. Excel and American Red Cross, and then some of our county staff went and staffed it on Saturday. But really offering a place to come charge your phones, your iPads, your books, that kind of thing in the daytime, and talk to people. And that was really a great thing that we came up with. And we planned that all on Friday.
And they had backup power. Is that how they could charge phones?
Yes. Yeah. They have a generator. And actually, our facilities folks made sure it was completely rewired, ready to go, so that it could serve as a charging center. So there was a lot of, so really Thursday and Friday were a lot of planning for Friday, and then into Saturday, which is when we really saw the need of folks, because now you could be, you know, 72, most folks have been 24 hours without power. Some folks have been 72 plus hours without power. And so we tried to really focus on when we could be the most helpful, and we decided Saturday and or Sunday would be the best. So Evergreen Fire Rescue opened up a charging station at their location. We had one in Idaho Springs. And then in terms of the sheltering, we still had availability at Gilpin and or Jefferson County sites. And again, the county offered to transport people for free.
Terrific. Yeah. So did that happen? Did we have people from Clear Creek who sought shelter?
So out of those two shelters, Gilpin County only had three people use their shelter overnight for one night. Jefferson County did not have anybody utilize their shelter, and nobody from Clear Creek County asked to be transported by us.
Wow. Well, we are a resilient lot of people.
Yeah. So my biggest thing was wanting to make sure we offered it.
Yeah, so. For sure. And it could have been needed. So interesting. I bet there's been a lot of conversation people have had about having backup power, because as you said, this is not the last of these wind events. And with the changing climate, they're probably going to be happening more frequently.
Yeah, and I think folks didn't understand, and I didn't even really understand of what it takes to restore. So it's one thing if you turn my power off, right, during the wind event. That makes sense to me. What I was hearing from the public is it's really, why can't you just turn it back on, right? Because there's no, you know, the wind event's no more. And what's, I think, a really important takeaway is in order to restore the power, every single line has to be visually inspected. So if that's by helicopter, if that's by drone, if that's by truck, if that's by person walking, they want to make sure there isn't a tree laying on a line somewhere right. where we can't see it, because then we've just defeated the purpose if we turn the power back on and the tree catches on fire and we've just started the thing that we were trying to prevent. And so right. it takes a lot. Think of all, as you're driving around, think of all the lines you see that are power lines across our community and across the whole Front Range, and imagine having to put eyes on every single part of that before you can safely turn it back on. So really, restoration was, I think, the most challenging point of it all. But I'll give it to Jenny if she wants to talk a little bit about what communication stuff we did.
Yeah, that'd be great, Jenny.
Sure. Yeah, so there's a couple of things that I would recommend that our residents sign up for if they have not already. One is notify me on the county's website. Go to the Clear Creek County website, scroll down to the bottom where it says notify me, and you can sign up for all sorts of alerts that the county will push out. You can sign up for sheriff's alerts. You can sign up for county alerts. There's a variety. And you can receive those notifications on your phone, on your cell phone, through text message, through emails, in a variety of ways. You choose which notifications you want, and how you want to receive them. Mm-hmm. So that is a great way for residents to stay informed, because we use that alert system to notify residents of the shelters, of the transportation opportunity to shelters, of the charging stations during this PSPS event. And we will use that notification system again in the future. The other one I would encourage residents to sign up for is the Lookout Alert emergency notification system. And that we did not use for the PSPS because Lookout Alert is more for public safety emergencies rather than a private company's shutoff. But Lookout Alert is really important for residents to sign up for when there's an emergency, if people have to evacuate, if they have to shelter in place for a variety of reasons, we will notify them through Lookout Alert. Mm-hmm. So it's just go to lookoutalert.com and register your mobile devices. And again, there are a few things that you can sign up for, but essentially you're signing up for emergency notifications, and you can receive the notifications via text message, via phone call, via email, or all three of those if you'd like. So I would highly encourage people to do that. And then social media. We use our social media to share information. And so if you follow either the Clear Creek County Sheriff's Office or Clear Creek County on our social media sites, that's another way to get information.
Primarily Facebook.
We use Facebook for breaking incidents. Mm-hmm. So if we have a crash on the highways, or if we have a law enforcement incident mm-hmm. in a certain area, we use Facebook for that. Sometimes we use Instagram for that as well, but we're on Facebook, Nextdoor, Instagram, even X, primarily Facebook. I think the residents in Clear Creek County of those platforms tend to towards Facebook, so we do use that more often. So I would recommend following us on social media and specifically Facebook.
Terrific. You know, people sometimes complain about not getting the message. And it sure sounds like our services here through the county are more than willing to get the information out, but that we all then need to take responsibility to connecting up so that we're receiving the information that you're pushing out. And that's only going to become more important for us with kind of all the priorities that Calissa talked about, and, you know, wildfire certainly is on our mind all the time. And so I want to thank you both and just ask you if you might have any kind of final thoughts about sort of the role of emergency management in our county to share with our listeners.
Yeah, so I think the overarching thing I would have is we need to rely a lot on each other and on the individuals to take preparedness and do stuff with it. So if it's building a kit, if it's filling your bathtub before so you have water during a power outage, if it's signing up for lookout alerts so that you can be notified to take action, I really, you know, want to empower the individual. And I know Clear Creek County folks are, you know, very sometimes anti-government or don't want to be told what to do. That's great. But you also need to prepare yourself so that you don't necessarily need us, but know that we're trying with limited resources and limited dollars to provide the best service and make sure that life safety is prioritized in any emergency, and really leaning forward and doing a lot of preparedness and planning before incidents really make the actual response and recovery much better. So I empower each individual person to do one thing this week to either build a kit or make a plan or sign up for Lookout Alert or sign up for the Notify Me, and just give yourself just that little bit more on the preparedness side. And we'll continue on the government side to build and identify opportunities and services we can provide to you all when the bad day does happen.
Yeah, really good advice, Clarissa. Thank you. Jenny, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I would just echo what Clarissa just said, is that in general, we would hope that residents are able to kind of provide for themselves up to as much as 72 hours mm-hmm. in a particular type of emergency. Because as she indicated, we may not have the resources to come to you unless it is life safety. And then of course we will come and we will help. But we need to be prepared for more public safety power outages, and we need to be able to get through those sometimes on our own accord.
Yeah. Well, so take that, folks. Let's do our part and thank our county services for doing their part. This has been so informative. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much for being with me today on What's Upstream. I did want to mention that the show next week will feature a new resident of our county whose name is Jeffrey Lockwood. Jeffrey put together a foundation that he runs, and the purpose of his foundation is to get people with disabilities into the backcountry and the high country. And he should have some very interesting stories to share with us next week. So thank you all for listening to What's Upstream today. This is Lori Beckles signing off. And be safe and protect yourselves out there. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Lori.